Go ahead.
Well, Jim, can you tell me how you first met Wayne and how that kind of came to pass?
Yeah, well, Wayne and I go way back to the early years with the Twins organization. I first met Wayne in 1963. When I was a player and pitcher for the Dallas, at that time Dallas was a Triple A club, and Wayne was the clubhouse guy who started in the clubhouse and eventually wound up being somewhat of a trainer, and then also continued to be a clubhouse guy in all the years that he's been associated with the Twins. His career started really before 63. I know he was a bat boy, which I didn't know him at that time, but my startup with Wayne was 1963.
Were you involved eventually in hiring Wayne or to work for you, or was he kind of part of the organization and when you took a position with the Twins, it just kind of worked out?
I guess he went with the franchise because it was just an automatic hire after he started with Dallas. He just continued to be with the organization, and he rolled with it every year. He was on board, and I guess it goes back to the time when Sherry Roberts and George Brophy were the leaders in the the farm director and assistant farm director, and eventually George Brophy was probably more responsible for Wayne being with the Twins all those years.
I see. Do you have any particular stories about Wayne that you'd like to share with the fans?
Well, there's many, many stories over the years because, a lot of times we would call Mr. Hathaway in charge of morale for the ball club because he was quick with the whip, and he also was quick to tear you down. So you had to be ready for Wayne. For instance, when we would send a player from major leagues down to the minor leagues, and Wayne would greet him, and the player would say, "Well, this pants here is a little tight, and I need a bigger size." And Wayne would say, "Well, just hang in there, big fella. The tailor will be here tomorrow." So things like that. Wayne was always quick to critique a player, or obviously when a pitcher or a player didn't do very well, he'd always remind the player, "It's not your fault, it's the scout that signed you." And things like that, players expected to get slammed sometimes by Wayne and his sarcasm over the years, but he was always there. I think a lot of times he'd sleep in the clubhouse, so he was a fixture, and he knows a lot of players in the game right now. Of course, he's been out and kind of retired from the game in active duty, so to speak, but he knew a lot of players, and they still remember him. You travel around, they all ask about Wayne.
Yeah. When I was interviewing Wayne in Fort Myers, we did the interviews in the minor league clubhouse, and a lot of players stopped by there: Torrey Hunter and Justin Morneau and Jim Cott, and all those guys, Scotty Erickson. They all stopped by to say hello and chat, and it's like they've been friends their entire lives.
Yeah, he has built that relationship with a number of players over the years, and once you meet Wayne, you don't forget him. So they look for him, they ask for him, and I know he's coming up here to Minnesota to spend a couple months again from from his home in Mobile, Alabama, which has been his home all his life, but he spends a lot of time here in Minnesota. Of course, when he was working, he was always with an affiliate throughout the system, wherever we were, and then he went to Instructional League and went to spring training. So he's had a number of years in baseball.
Yeah, he mentioned that he was coming up and wanted to get together when he got here.
Yeah,
he's such an interesting person, and he's met so many people. It just, I've enjoyed talking to him, and you know, it's just hard to imagine someone has been in one career that long.
Yeah, it has. Of course, he takes pride in it, which he should, that he's been a baseball fan and employee for many years, but most of all, he's been with the Twins his entire life, I believe. You know, over the years, he spent a number of years, you know, traveling through the minor leagues. You know, usually he would be assigned a club. A lot of times it'd be in Florida, and sometimes he would be out of the state of Florida, and wherever we had a club, Wayne was there. Especially, you know, in the old days, going way back, there was not a lot of clubhouse employees. There was a trainer, and then there was Wayne, and they would take care of 200 players in spring training. So we were short, but that's the way it was back in those days.
Yeah, he mentioned that he brought up the minor league clubhouse in Melbourne a number of times, and talked about how small it was for the number of players that were there.
Yeah, he always does. He lives in the past, so to speak, but he, you know, again, he was there from sun up to sundown as the only clubhouse guy, and he, you know, the sad part about it is that when we had that many players, we didn't even have a washer or dryer to take care of the uniforms. They had to take it out to the local laundromat to do the laundry after the players that get done working out. And players in those days had to bring their own sanitaries and take care of their own undergarments and so forth, take them home and wash it. It was a lot different. Of course, Wayne being the clubhouse guy at that time, it always come through at the end of the day. And believe it or not, we didn't have carpeting in the clubhouse. We had cement floor and rubber mats. Mm-hmm. And he'd always come through. He says, you know, pick them up, which meant pick up your shoes. We're going to hose her down today. So they would run the garden hoses through the and sweep it out and wait till it dries for the next day and do the same thing for about 30 days while we're in spring training. So his duties in spring training were many, and it fell on him because we only had one clubhouse guy.
Yeah, and he mentioned that, you know, he kept asking members of the Griffith organization, you know, how come he never makes it to the big leagues? And according to Wayne, he was always told that he was more valuable in the minor leagues.
Yeah, he brought that up several times to me. He let me know how valuable he was in the minor leagues. And I think the one year that he speaks a lot is when they gave him two clubs in Charlotte, North Carolina. He had a double A club and an A club playing out of the same ball. When one club would be on the road, the other club would be home. And so he didn't get a break. The two clubs would play in one ballpark. When one was gone, the other one would set up shop and play for 4 or 5 days. They would leave, and then the other club would move in. And as I told him, Wayne, I says, well, you know, you're going to double your money now. You're going to get clubhouse dues all month long, from all summer long. And, of course, he maintained that wore him out, and drove him to smoke cigars. Wayne loved cigars at one time.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Never drank never drank, but loved cigars, and of course he don't do that anymore. He hasn't done it for about 15 years, but at one time he loved those cigars.
Wow, that's interesting. So the twins seem to take good care of him. Even nowadays, they, you know, they help him out and allow him access to the clubhouse and those kind of things, and that's just really nice on the part of the organization, I think.
Yeah, there, I know there are some individuals, staff-wise and player-wise, that look out for Wayne and take care. You know, he right now, of course, he's more of a visitor. He's not on the payroll, but he does have expenses, and I'm sure some of the players and some of the staff step up and kind of take care of him the best they can. And they, you know, again, they allow him in the clubhouse, and the clubhouse people, employees, are pretty doggone good to Wayne. They take good care of him, and they know him inside and out. They know when he started, and he still wants to be part of it, you know.
Yeah, he loves baseball, and you know, we talk about some of the changes that have happened to baseball since he first started, and he is not too happy about some of the things, and but he still loves the game.
Yeah, well, John, as we all know, things change, and baseball has made a number of, and they're still making changes to baseball, and a lot of it fell in his department when, you know, like I said, he was the one and only. Now they got about five guys doing what Wayne did, you know, and he can't believe that it's gone this way. He said, when I did this and did that, I never had any problem with injuries and that they always wanted to play when I took care of them. So he, you know, that way sometimes he's a little bitter.
Yeah. He mentioned a story about Terry Ryan, that, you know, that when Terry Ryan was in spring training when he was a player, that he was a pitcher and he was always seemed to be injured. And Terry Ryan, according to Wayne, asked him how he was doing and whatnot. And Wayne said, well, I don't know, because, you know, I've never seen him pitch.
Well, Terry had a real good, I think he was like 7-0 at one time, and then he ran into arm problems and had to have his arm operated on. So Wayne probably didn't see him pitch, because when he was rehabbing, he was here in Minnesota rehabbing at the old Met, and then he was probably sent to a club that Wayne wasn't on, you know, so he didn't see him pitch in spring training. Of course, Wayne never got to see much of the game, you know, because he was always in the clubhouse doing something, you know. But, yeah, Wayne, Instructional League, you know, things stick in your mind. Like Instructional League, he was there with another employee named Buck Chamberlain. He was the trainer, and Wayne was the clubhouse guy, and Wayne had to put the lunch on, and the only thing we had to lunch in Instructional League was soup. He had a big kettle of soup, and, you know, you think away, you know, the cleanliness and everything you want nowadays, you got. But in those days, Wayne's, for his stirring of the soup, we had soup and crackers for our break, and for stirring the soup, Wayne used a fungal bat. So, I mean, it's things like that that you don't forget, you know. What the heck, Wayne? You got to get some spoons or a big spoon. He used a fungal bat.
That's really great. Yeah. He's quite the character.
Yes, he is. And he talks to me, I would say, on the average about twice a week. He calls me to check in, because he has a little trouble with his eyesight, you know, and he can't read real, you know, his eyesight is kind of kind of leaving him a little bit, although he can't see. I know he can still recognize good-looking women, because when they go by, he perks up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Jim, I've taken up enough of your time this morning. I really appreciate you joining me here and talking about Wayne. And
it's an easy subject, you know. And if you happen to get a hold of a couple of those other guys, they could share a lot of stories as well, you know. Like I said, it's easy to talk about, but there's so many good things to talk about Wayne, even though sometimes he is in charge of morale for the ball club, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jim, again, thank you very much, and we hope to talk to you again sometime.
Okay, John, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.